So welcome guys to a special edition of the Swarmcast. Your host Sean Bach today. David is absent on this one, so I've decided to take charge. We have a special guest today, Anna Kaiser. Before we introduce Anna, I kind of wanted to, at HawkeyeInsider.com, most of our coverage has to do with recruiting, basketball, football, sometimes baseball, what have you, NFL stuff, NBA stuff, for the former Hawkeyes. But I felt like with the expectations coming into this wrestling season for the Iowa program that, we'd be dumb not to cover this team and preview it as well. So with that being said, I'd like to bring on Anna Kaiser, who covers Iowa wrestling and Iowa high school wrestling for IA Wrestle. Anna was the sports editor at the Daily Iowa in her senior year, covered wrestling, worked at Flow Wrestling after graduation for a few months, and now, like I said before, covers Iowa wrestling for IA Wrestle. Anna is also the baseball communications coordinator for the Indianapolis Indians, which is the AAA affiliate for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So, Anna, you got a lot on your plate, don't you?
I do, yeah. I'm a very busy person.
Yeah. So, kind of, before we go into, previewing the season and talking about the 2020 season as well, touching on that, kind of go through your experience. I mean, I talked about, your credentials, but kind of talk about your experience with wrestling, covering wrestling a bit.
Yeah, so I started covering wrestling the 2018-2019 season. It's actually a funny story. My editor at the time wanted me to cover it for 2017-2018, Spencer Lee's first run at an NCAA championship. And I basically refused. I didn't know a lot about it. And then, the next season just kind of decided to jump into it and found out that Iowa wrestling is actually pretty awesome. The energy in Carver Hawkeye Arena when they're at home is unmatched, even if you're at a basketball game, completely unmatched. So yeah, just kind of fell in love with the sport, fell in love with covering the team and writing about it, and really expanded my skill set and was lucky enough to continue it after graduation.
Yeah, so what were some of the, I know you've been around for most of the Spencer Lee's career, but what were some of the big, moments or matchups or duels that you've covered that really stand out to you?
Yeah, so I had the chance to go to Pittsburgh in 2019 and cover Spencer Lee's second NCAA championship, which was awesome. An experience that I hadn't had before in any sport, really. So that was really fun. And then I guess the one that sticks out even more so than NCAA's in 2019 was the Penn State duel last year. I believe it was like January 31st when Michael Kemmerer beat then number one Mark Hall, and the Hawkeyes narrowly took down the Nittany Lions and held their number one spot in the nation, which, I think was just kind of a testament to the team at that time. And really, what they were going to do come March, and then ended up not being able to do.
Yeah, so I've known Anna since my freshman year of college at Iowa, so 2017, and I've been kind of following her writing. Obviously, we're good friends, and I've been covering her or following her writing, and what followed her coverage throughout the past couple of years, and it's really good stuff. I'm sure you guys would really appreciate it. And she brings a lot of good insight to the beat. So make sure you give her a follow on Twitter, but and cover and listen and read her stuff. But before we go into 2021, obviously a lot of expectations there, but 2020, 13 overall, 9-0 in Big Ten. Iowa just absolutely dominates the conference. Most dominant wrestler in the country in Spencer Lee, Dan Hodge Trophy Award winner. 7 All-Americans, 10 qualifiers for the NCAA tournament. And then just like that, COVID-19's everything, ends everything. So, 2020, obviously a lot of people still talk about that. Just kind of go in depth of, the 2020 season and what that kind of meant for the Iowa program. And like just recap it a bit, just like quickly, like what are some of the things that stood out from that year?
Yeah, so Iowa hadn't won a Big Ten championship since 2010, hadn't won an NCAA team title since 2010. So 2020 going into it with Spencer Lee, Kemmerer back, fully healthy, Alex Marinelli, everything like that was really like their year. Going into it from the get-go, everybody was, we're ready to go, we're ready to wrestle, we're taking this home at the end of March. And for Tom Brands, the entire program, after Gable had set such a standard for it, which some of you guys might not know about. I would highly encourage you to Google it. I'm not going to go into depth about all of that. But the program was such a staple in the wrestling community nationally when Gable was a head coach, and then had kind of fallen off in the last 10 years. Not completely, obviously. They were always in the running. But 2020 was really the year that Iowa was by far the best team in the nation. Maybe, you know, second to Penn State until they finally took them down. So that was huge. And to have it end the way it did was disappointing, not only for the wrestlers, but for the fans that have been following this team for their entire lives, me for a couple of years, and really like understanding what it means to the programming, having that taken away. You know, you have Spencer Lee, who apparently this year is even better than he was last year, which is completely terrifying for anybody that's going to face him. But yeah, you know, just having all these guys at their best and then having it stripped away from them because of COVID and something that's completely out of their control was really kind of heartbreaking. So I think they take kind of an edge from that season. And also, like, most of those guys are returning. So to take what they had last year, run through the Big Ten, be completely dominant, take down, you know, Ohio State, which I think was ranked number 3 at some point, win like 7 or 8 out of those 10 matches. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. But just kind of steamroll everybody and be at the exact same strength, if not better than they were last year, is incredible.
Yeah, and Brand's kind of talked about it when I watched the Media Day presser the other day. He kind of, you know, he was upset by it. And he kind of said, too, it's like, we got to find a way to have NCAAs this year. We got to find a way to make the season complete because, you know, just the total pain and distraught that the whole team, the whole program, and like you said, the fan base as well, just seemed very, very, very unfortunate. I mean, obviously, there's more important things in life than wrestling and sports, but you know, that's a lot of people's livelihood, and you know, they really didn't seem to take it well. And I mean, rightfully so, especially with all the talent they had.
Yeah. And especially for Pat Lugo, who was going into NCAAs as the number 1 seed and won a Big Ten championship. And then to have that taken away from him in his senior season, he's the only one that's not back this year and doesn't kind of get a chance to avenge that. So it just really, it was, I think, a hard time for the program, which now they luckily have it. Most of them, at least, have a chance to kind of bounce back from.
Yeah, that's a good transition to go into 2021. So I'll hit on it right away. Who comes back from last year's team? Who are the guys that you're keeping a close eye on, or who are the main guys that are coming back for another year?
Yeah. So I guess all things considered, they got kind of lucky that only one of their guys was graduating. Not only graduating, but in his final year of eligibility. You know, you have Michael Kemmerer, who's back for his 6th year. You have Marinelli, Spencer Lee, and literally everybody but that 149 spot, which we'll touch on later, how the puzzle pieces kind of fall there. But then you add Jaden Ironman, who is a 3-time All-American, took an Olympic redshirt last year. He bumps in and fills that spot, or somehow fills that spot. So you have a full 10 that are fully capable, all 10 of them, of probably being All-Americans at the end of the year at NCAAs. All 10 of them definitely qualifying, at least. So really, like, they're in a great position to not only repeat what they did last year and what they could have done last year, but build on top of it and be even more dominant.
Yeah, so you touched on, too, I mean, bringing back all those guys, what are some holes or what are some of the weights that you kind of think, you know, there's still a little bit of question marks in?
Yeah, so even last year, like, there was really no weight classes besides 184, which got resolved in January, that there are big question marks in. You know, Max Murin was in at 141 last year when he was healthy. He bumps up to 149, it looks like, through the probable lineups. And then Ironman comes in at his regular 141 spot. He's won 3 MAC championships in his career at that weight. So he's a very, very, very strong piece of the puzzle there. And then again, like last year, 184 is probably going to be a toss up between Ava Saad, who got his red shirt pulled last year, and Nelson Brands, who is the lone 184 pounder on this week's probables. So 184, keep an eye on. 141 and 149 seem to be steady with the loss of Lugo last year and the switching that goes on there. But really, like, there aren't any holes that need to be filled. Assad was an automatic NCAA qualifier last year. They're not going to take him out unless they have somebody that they think is more capable, can do the exact same thing, if not more. So really, like, question marks, they're besides 184 and like the possibility of a toss up there, there's none. Like I said, they have the possibility to take 10 to NCAAs and come out with at least 10 All-Americans. So yeah, it's an exciting group for sure.
Yeah, so you touched on it. Jaden Ironman, Mizzou transfer. What do people need to know about him? What does he bring to the table?
Yeah, he's a three-time All-American. Like I said, placed third at NCAAs in 2019. His only loss coming to the eventual 141-pound champion. He's a three-time conference champion, ranked number one coming into the season. And really, like, he's just a dominant wrestler. Like, you add him in with a lineup that has Kemmerer, Marinelli, Lee already. Like, he's just another one of those guys that's going to take you really far in matches. He's going to give you dominant performances. And I think Hawkeye fans are going to really, really be excited for him. They got a little bit of a preview at the Hawkeye Wrestling Club Showdown. But I mean, to see him in a black and gold singlet is huge and is going to be huge for the lineup in the program.
Yeah, so I know this isn't one that I included, but it's kind of one that just came up at the top of my head. But how often do you really see a guy that, you know, dominant or that talented transfer so late in his career? I mean, I know you talk about grad transfers when it comes to basketball and football, but I mean, how often do you really see that in wrestling?
You know, I don't know really how often you see it, but I think for him, with his goals, he did take an Olympic redshirt last year. I think it's huge just jumping conferences. You know, the Big Ten is one of the most dominant conferences in wrestling. You have Penn State, you have Ohio State, Nebraska is ranked number six. It's just all over, like, compared to any conference in the nation, like, is a step up in the wrestling world. So I think for Ironman to, like, take that step up, take his successes from the MAC and jump up to the Big Ten, the best conference in the nation in wrestling, is just going to take is just going to be another stepping stone to his career goals in going to the Olympics, winning Olympic gold medal, winning an NCAA title, and to, you know, be ranked number one in the nation in the toughest conference in the nation is incredible. And I think it's just, you know, it's a step for him that is going to prepare him for the future.
Yeah. So we talked about, you know, some of the weight classes that might be a little bit up in the air, and really 184 was the only one that stood out. Brands is currently slotted in there for this weekend. Assad is another guy that, you know, very talented. What's kind of your view on that weight class, and how do you kind of see Brand? I know you might not have like super deep inside info on it, and I don't think Brands really has a good feel for what he wants to do with it either. Probably could be wrong there, but besides the point, what's your kind of feel about 184? Like, how do you kind of break it down?
No, Tom Brands said in his media day press conference that both of those guys are very capable wrestlers and will probably get goes at that weight over the course of the season. Nelson Brands did beat Abe Assad 9-0 at the Hawkeye Wrestling Club Showdown on November 1st. So that's kind of an asterisk on the thing where, you know, that's probably why he's the go-to guy. And, you know, maybe there are other issues with Abe Assad physically or something, like, I don't know. But that's hindering that he's not listed on the probable lineup. But also, like, they have two very capable guys. You know, Nelson Brands came out extremely strong at the beginning of the season when he got goes at 184. Then Abe Assad stepped up and, you know, qualified for NCAAs and all of that stuff. So I just think that, you know, when it comes down to it, they're going to pick the most capable wrestler. And I don't think anybody at this point, even Tom Brands, knows who that is until they get looks this early in the season. You're at kind of a disadvantage where at this point in the year last year, Abe Assad had his redshirt had been pulled and he was the guy. Now you don't have that luxury of time, basically, because the season is just starting. It's January 15th. You have 2 months to figure it out, a month and a half, however long it is until the first week of March. So I think it's just going to be a touch and go thing from week to week. And that makes it exciting because, you know, you've got these two guys that are going to be vying for spots. Maybe they both end up in the lineup somewhere years down the road. So it's just a chance for people to see kind of what they're capable of, both inside and outside the program.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, so from your standpoint of, you know, these two guys, how do their styles kind of differ from each other?
Brands, obviously he's a Brands, you know, he's very physical, he's very dominant, but last year especially he didn't have that consistency. I mean, Assad didn't really have that consistency either, but he was more, you know, once his red shirt was pulled, he won his first two matches, he was the go-to guy, he stepped up at Midlands, placed pretty highly from what I remember, and you know, took the trust of the program, which is really what they want from a guy. They don't want somebody that's going to step up in a ranked match and then fall to their opponent who's unranked and by and large should have beaten them. So I think it'll be really interesting to see, you know, how those two compete and how they gain that trust, basically. If one of them kind of steps up, if Brands, you know, takes what he learned last year, takes what he learned from his unaffiliated wrestling, and you know, steps up and holds what he did with that 9-0 win over Assad, if he just kind of keeps that consistency through the year.
Moving on from 184, I mean, two times in the last three seasons, Iowa's had to put a true freshman into the lineup. They have two true freshmen in the lineup right now, or at least in the probable, for the duel against Nebraska, and that's, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing these names wrong, Brettly Rena at 149 and Patrick Kennedy at 174. What do you kind of know about this freshman class? I mean, obviously it's going to be tough to compete unless, you know, God forbid, an injury with some of the guys ahead of them. But what do you know about Rena and Kennedy and kind of this whole freshman class?
Yeah, so this freshman class especially is the one that's going to take over for Kemmerer, Lee, Marinelli, Ironman when they leave. Whenever that is, these are the guys that are being grown to take over and to take the program to that next level. And most importantly, like, keep the success that they've had in the past 2 years. Once you leave all those big name guys that are ranked number one, number two right now, you want to keep the intensity and the dominance of the program. And I think that's what these guys are. So Kennedy, Reyna in the lineup doesn't really surprise me, because one, you do want to grow them. You do want to get them that collegiate, you know, affiliated wrestling experience right away. And then also, you know, it's just, like you said, there's an injury occurs. You want to have somebody ready to go. They ran into that problem in 2018, 2019, when Kemmerer went down. And when multiple guys went down at 174 and they really had nobody to step in and cover that weight when NCAAs came around. The other thing is, it's going to be a sprint of a season. They have nine dual meets in 7 weeks, I think it is, with those two or three triangle meets. You know, it's going to be a sprint. These guys like Kemmerer, Marinelli, Murin, whoever has a backup, they're going to need some time. They're going to need to, you know, obviously they want to train, they want to be at their, you know, peak for the whole season, especially when you get to March. But also, like, that's a lot. They're going to be sore, they're going to be tired, they're going to fight through it, obviously, because, you know, they didn't get the chance to really do that last year. But it's nice to have those guys that can step in, get that experience, and then also, you know, kind of take the stress off of them for a week.
Yeah, definitely. So what are some of the, I mean, before we talk about Nebraska too, that upcoming duel on Friday. What are some of the duels that you have circled on your calendar, and what are some of the individual matchups that you're really, you know, looking forward to throughout the year?
Yeah, so I guess the biggest one, both individual and team-wise, is always Penn State. That's on February 12th, not 2nd. It's in-state college, was at Carver-Hawkeye Arena last year, notably. You know, it probably won't be – it won't be a normal duel, obviously. There aren't going to be fans. That place is not going to be packed full of Penn State fans. So, obviously, you know, the Hawkeyes kind of had an advantage there. But also, like – that's one of the biggest duels that is always circled 20 times on the calendar. Not even just, you know, team-wise, but Austin DeSanto will be facing Roman Bravo Young again, who notably in the duel last year, DeSanto fell to an injury default in the first period, which was a little rough for team score-wise and for DeSanto himself. Then Ironman versus Nick Lee, both Lee and Bravo Young were runner-ups at Big Tens last year. They are dominant opponents, and so I think just to be able to see how far DeSanto has come in a year, how Ironman really matches up against the best, you know, 141 pounders in the nation, because he hasn't faced those Big Ten guys on a consistent basis in his career. So I think those are the big two that I'm just like, that's going to show Hawkeye fans and the program where they're at on their way to March.
Mm-hmm. NCAA-wise, who are the other teams? I know Oklahoma State always seems to have a pretty talented team, but as far as other national teams goes, who are some of the other teams that, like, once March comes, are ones that Iowa fans will need to know?
Yeah, so Makai Lewis, who is back from last year, Virginia Tech, he's the number one ranked wrestler at 165. Always a huge matchup between him and Marinelli at NCAAs. We'll see how the cards fall this year. But team-wise, you know, the top three teams in the nation are Iowa, Penn State, and Michigan. So those are Big Ten teams that you get to see in the regular season, get to see at Big Tens, and then, you know, go into NCAAs, having them on your calendar. Oklahoma State, always good. Ohio State, like I said, I think was ranked 3 last year at some point, is 7 now. So, I mean, you have all those teams. You don't get to face Oklahoma State this year, which is kind of unfortunate. With the conference-only schedule, but with the way the Big Ten and the national rankings shake out right now, seeing just those Big Ten teams doesn't hurt you at all, because they're the ones at the top of the pack, and they're going to be the ones that you're facing most, probably, trying to edge out in team points in March.
So what are your expectations for this team? I mean, everyone back almost, and just the talent they have. Big Ten obviously is not going to be an easy road this year. I mean, it never is in college wrestling, but it seems to be really a step up this year too. So what are your kind of thoughts on the team, and what do you kind of see, you know, how you think they'll end up doing this year?
Yeah. Like I said earlier, you know, they are a carbon copy of what they were last year, maybe even better. So it's very hard. Again, like, we're a month and a half away in a, or 2 months away in a very, very weird season. So injuries can happen, God forbid, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the next 2 months, basically. I think it's hard to think of this team as repeating their 2020 Big Ten championship and going into NCAAs as the far and away favorite. You know, Penn State lost a lot of its big wrestlers that could really go bout for bout with Iowa. Obviously, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in the next month before they face Penn State and then get to Big Tens, but it's just very, very hard when you look at all the lineups matched up against each other, especially Iowa and Penn State, that Iowa doesn't take the team title in March, barring any unforeseen, you know, circumstances.
Right. I mean, we've seen that so much with COVID protocols and football and basketball. So hopefully it's not the same scenario. I mean, it's evident that I think something will happen. But, you know, it's just the world we live in nowadays. So let's look at the Nebraska duel on Friday, 8:10 p.m. Central Time on the Big Ten Network, number 6, Nebraska. The probable list, you got Spencer Lee at 125 or Aaron Cashman. Obviously, that's going to be Spencer Lee. Austin DeSanto at 133, Jay Nierman 141, Max Murin or Brett Lee Rena at 149, Caleb Young at 157, Alex Marinelli at 165, Kermer at 174, or Patrick Kennedy. You got Nelson Brands at 184, Werner Corbin at 197, then Cassiopeia at 285. So what were your kind of initial thoughts on the probable list for Iowa?
Yeah, so it's not super surprising. I mean, like I said, they had 9 of 10 starters returning from last year. You have Ironman slotted in at that missing spot. Like, we've known for a very long time what their day-to-day lineup is going to be. My main focus was on 184, who was going to be there. Not really surprised that Nelson Brands is there, especially with his win over Abe Assad at the Hawkeye Wrestling Club Showdown. I was a little surprised to see Kennedy and Reyna in there just because, like, they are true freshmen. This is the first, you know, organized conference, collegiate, whatever you want to call it, competition since Big Ten's ended on March 8th. So I was kind of surprised to see them just because, you know, I feel like you want to throw those starters out there right away. Aaron Cashman, surprised to see him on there. But again, like, you want to have options going into the duel. And that's what they have, and I think they have really good options. So, yeah, it wasn't really surprising. But the backups that I do see, I think they're going to be a good fit.
Yeah, so according to Track Wrestling, there are so 4 potential top 10 matchups in Friday's duel. You have Ironman and Chad Redd at 141. You have Kemmer and Mike Labriola at 174. You have Brands and Benz at 184. Then you have Werner and Eric Schultz at 197. Which one of those 4 are you kind of like, okay, like, that's the one I need to see, or that's the one I'm really, you kind of think you'll take away a lot from?
Yeah, you know, Werner and Schultz, obviously they're the closest ranked, highest ranked in terms of like the matchups. So that one is all, like, I think is going to be a good one just because Werner tends to wrestle up to his opponents. Like, he tends to come out firing when he's got, you know, this number 2 matchup on his calendar. Especially because, you know, he's been in training mode. I'm really interested to see how he comes out of the gate. And then another one is Ironman Redd. You know, Chad Redd is a very dominant wrestler, and this is Ironman's first Hawkeye duel. I'm really interested to see, you know, how, when he steps into Carver Hawkeye Arena for the first time. You know, I don't envision that necessarily. I mean, there's always a chance for it to be, you know, a really tight match. And honestly, it probably will be. But also, like, not even in terms of that, just seeing Ironman on the mat for the first time and seeing exactly how he fits into that Iowa lineup is really, really exciting.
What's a sneaky good matchup that might not be one of those, you know, top 10 potential ones?
Yeah. The difficulty answering a question like this with Iowa's lineup is they have a tendency to just absolutely steamroll Big Ten teams. Steamrolled Ohio State last year, like, lose maybe 2 or 3 matches. And so looking at these, like, Nebraska has a really good lineup and they could be great. I mean, 149, 157, 184 with Nelson Brands, like, first time he's wrestled for the Hawk, like, not the first time, but the first time in a while that he's wrestled and, like, actually been that go-to guy. I think, like, this entire Iowa lineup has the ability to come out firing right away. And you could say it's a good matchup, any of these, really. But then, like, they come out and they just absolutely dominate these guys, and it's just not foreseen. So, I mean, really, like, looking at these, any ranked matchup is a good matchup because these are guys that are going to help the Hawkeyes build up to where they need to be in March. But yeah, definitely those top 5, top 10 ones are going to be really, really important to keep an eye on.
So you're saying that Iowa, your prediction is Iowa takes this one, right?
Yes. Yeah. Not even a hard question. Yes.
Oh, sorry. You know, I'm not good at that stuff. So we had a couple questions on Twitter and from our message boards. We picked out 3 of them. The first one is, can Nelson Brands hold up for an entire season?
Yeah, you know, like I said before, I think it is going to be a toggle between Assad and Brands. At least that's kind of what the indication that Tom Brands has given us. I think he can. Like I said, like, he needs to stay consistent. When he goes out there and he has huge match, he wrestles up, and sometimes he wrestles down when he maybe doesn't have a huge match. So I think, you know, if he wrestles up all the time, he doesn't fall to his opponents, you know, rankings or whatever it may be. I think he can be that go-to guy, especially with the win earlier this year over Assad. He probably won't be the guy every single week. Assad will probably be in there at some point just to get a look at him. You know, he was the qualifier last year. But I think that weight is going to be really, really interesting because no matter who takes it, they have the ability to be a strong, you know, wrestler in that lineup.
Second one is, would Chem Dawg return for his seventh year?
You know, Alex Marinelli has already said that if they want him back, he will be back. I think it hinges a lot on what happens this year, especially with COVID, you know, up in the air, all this stuff. Kemmerer has had a lot of years taken away from him with his injuries and whatnot. And so I think it's, I mean, you never know what the guy's going to do at the end of the year. If he wins an NCAA title, whether he's going to, you know, take that and go or if he's going to come back. But I really think that if the Hawkeyes have a chance to be dominant continuously and, you know, Kemmerer has a chance to, you know, either go back-to-back in NCAA titles or really just, you know, help this team win another team title in 2022, he's going to come back, especially with Marinelli already saying he's game for another year.
Yeah, so the next one, I mean, you touched on a little bit. Does Chad Redd have a chance to hang with Ironman on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, I think he does. You know, it's the first duel out of the gate. The Huskers did – Corn Huskers, whatever their name is, did win their duel last week. Like I said, Chad Redd is a very dominant wrestler. Ironman, I think it's just going to be interesting to see how dominant Ironman is. Like, of course, everybody has a chance to hang with their opponent. Maybe, you know, not against Spencer Lee. But anybody else, absolutely. Because you never know how guys are going to come out of the gate, whether they're going to wrestle down or they wrestle up to their opponent. I think it's more of a question of how dominant is Ironman going to be against a top 10, some in some rankings, top 5 matchup in a weight class in a new conference.
So I added one more question because someone asked the last second, but how many champions are the Hawks in the Big Ten and Nationals?
Yeah, I actually got this question for a thing we're doing for IA Wrestle, so I've been thinking about this a lot. Big Ten, I hadn't really thought about. Let me look at the NCAA's champions. I'm going to go 4. And one is obviously Spencer Lee. The other ones you can kind of fill in, you know, over there. But I'm going to go with 4, 3 or 4. I'm leaning towards 4 just because, you know, looking at the rankings and all this stuff, Iowa has a lot of dominant wrestlers, a lot of them. And a lot of them are mad about last year and they're hurt and they want that chance to prove that they are the best of the nation. And I just think that that's a perfect combination for them to go and do it this year. Like I said, 10 All-Americans is by far a possibility. But I think of those guys, 4 have a very, very good chance of breaking through and taking home, you know, their own gold at the end of it. Big Ten wise, you know, Iowa had, I think, 3 or 4 champions last year. 3. Yeah, 3 or 4. So I think they can add on to that. You know, in the Big Ten, there a lot of these guys are separated in the rankings. And so I really think that, like, if Iowa crowns 5 Big Ten champions, 6, like, that's, I don't think out of the realm of possibility. You have Spencer Lee, Ironman, you know, Marinelli, Kemmerer. It just kind of depends, you know, how they, what guys decide to step up and what guys do step up and what guys don't. So it'll be very interesting to see.
Anna, you're the expert. So was there anything that I missed on asking you that, you know, you feel like you should cover, we should cover?
You did a pretty, you know, comprehensive kind of little snippet of wrestling. I don't think so.
See, I told you. I knew this stuff.
I'm proud of you.
I was not a big wrestling guy, but you know, over the past year or so, in the past week maybe, I've really come to enjoy it. So
yeah, there's never a better time to learn about Iowa wrestling when they are the best in the nation and are completely dominant.
So. Exactly, you know, because it seems like it's going to be that way for a while. But Anna, where can people find your work and where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, so my Twitter handle is KaiserAnnaM, KaiserAnnaM. And that's basically where I share all my work. Definitely follow IA Wrestle. We do a lot of good work. I'll be doing some different stuff with the Hawkeyes this year, and also wrestling content in the state of Iowa, which is huge culture thing. So that's really important. They, you know, grow a lot of really dominant wrestlers. So yeah, that's where you can find me. Basically Twitter. It's where I am 24/7. It's where all my work is.
Like I said, guys, Anna does a fantastic job at IA Wrestle and everything else she does. So make sure you give her a follow. And Anna, thanks again for joining us. We'll have to have you on at some other point during the season. Hopefully not with Dave on the pod.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And I'm excited to be back.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it up. New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.